Paul teaches us a lot here. Just listen. Listen to his petitions. Because I guarantee you, he goes after what God is after. And that's what I love about this prayer. It shows me what God is after in my heart. It's what God wants to come up out of me. The fact that we're now holy, that we're now holy, and this race now can be run, that we employ this faith to run the race, this is what God expects. This is what we can expect of each other. This is what I can expect of myself because of the power of God. Not because I'm a strong woman, because I'm not. Because I'm a weak, impotent, very selfish woman. I qualify. There is a maturing of faith here that Paul is laboring for in human hearts. I just want you to see it. I want you to catch a vision tonight of what a real normal Christian is. That it's more than just a little fruit. It's more than just faith, I believe. It's more than just heaven when I die. No, there's something more. That's not how Paul lived his life. It's not what his aim was. It's not what he was after. He's after a spirit-produced maturity such that when he leaves a place, or in this case, maybe never sees these people face to face and goes on to be in heaven with Christ, he will be watching a people from the portals of heaven that are running the race, and they are enduring, and they are being patient in trial, and they're rejoicing in suffering because Christ has come, the gospel, and that is their highest joy. That's what he's pressing for here. I know this because in verse 23, here's what he says. If indeed, and we'll get there, If those people we were just talking about, if they continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel, they will be presented holy, blameless, and without reproach before Christ's throne. Let me just say something before we go on with this prayer. This is really, I did a little research and my heart was really sad. I was feeling with Paul, asking God, open my heart as a minister of the gospel. Make me love people this way. I want to contend for people that I see stumbling, not stable, not steadfast, really struggling in their would-be blamelessness, really struggling. Oh God, I want to be this kind of faithful minister that labors and toils, Paul says. So you become that. I want to see you become that, stable and steadfast in your faith. So I did a little digging and I realized in 2 Timothy 1:15, don't turn there, but Paul says this, you are aware, and this is about 2 to 5 years after he wrote Colossians. To the Colossians, 2 to 5 years. You're aware that all those who are in Asia turned away from me. That's Asia Minor. That's Colossae. Something really sad happened. I mean, it makes this letter take on urgency for me. I have people in my life. I know that I'm contending. I'm laboring and toiling that they'll become stable and steadfast. And Paul doesn't stop. And the apostle Paul, it doesn't say some. Mark that down, 2 Timothy 1:15. You're aware, those of you watching my ministry, that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Not only that, but this letter, one of the things that we'll find out about this letter is that Paul says, I want you to take this letter when you've read it. I want you to take it to Laodicea. And I want you to let them read it. And the letter I sent to Laodicea, I want you to bring that letter and you all read that. Because over there in that, it's called the Lycus Valley, that part of the world, I want that whole area where I've not been yet. But Epaphras apparently had really been working, my son, Paul would say, I want you just to share that. It's really important to me. You guys get this. So he exhorts them in this book. Read this letter, the Laodiceans. 30 years later, what do we read? Revelation 3. What happened in Laodicea? They got this letter. They read this letter. 30 years later, John now, old, exiled on Patmos. Spirit of the Lord comes to John. And Spirit of the Lord begins to speak through John to his churches. And he says to Laodicea, oh, you don't have warm water. You don't have cold water. You don't have hot, refreshing water. I mean, hot, medicinal, healing of the wounds water. You don't have cold, refreshing water. You're lukewarm. And that was really true in the natural for them. Their pipes, their water was piped in, and by the time it got there, it had to sit for a while just to cool off a little bit. It was so yuck. He says, that's what you are. You're like that. Your spirituality's become like that. You're so dull. You're so dead. You're so lukewarm. It makes me sick. I want to spew you out of my mouth. Beloved, I hope you're hearing the urgency in Paul's voice to the Colossians. He is writing to people, and he says, I'm so thankful for your faith, and I am thankful for your love, and I am thankful for the hope that you have in the gospel, which is the hope in Jesus Christ. I am thankful for that, but I'm going to pray for you. I've been praying for you, and I've prayed ceaselessly for you because I'm looking for something more to be developed in your life. First of all, verse 9, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Oh, I want this so much for you. I'm not talking about intellectual truth. One of you I talked with on Sunday about this. People running to Bible studies, running here, running there, wanting Bible, 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 Bible. I love Bible studies and I love to study the Word of God. But I tell you what. It is so clear and so plain in Scripture when Jesus said, you'll run to the Scriptures, you'll read the Scriptures, but you will not come to me. You will not come to me. He's not praying here for knowledge. Demons have knowledge. Demons know more about the Bible than you or I will ever know. Demons know a lot about Jesus Christ. We can have that kind of knowledge. I'm not saying that it's bad. I love doctrine. You know I do. We must have the Word of God. But unless the Spirit of God attends the reading of the Word and we go with a heart that is so needy, we come so hungry, we come so thirsty, so desperate to meet God and to have him touch our life, unless we come to the Word like that, we'll just be puffed up with all of our Bible knowledge. It's what the Word of God says. There is a knowledge that puffs up. It makes us arrogant. It inoculates us from the real Christ. And we can run around with our Bible study, fill in the blank, and we know all the right answers, and our lives are not changed. Paul said that won't do. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what he prayed for in verse 15. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, and I don't cease to give thanks for you, asking, I'm sorry, I'm in Ephesians now, that the Lord of our Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Beloved, if you have people in your life that know the Bible, but you see by the eyes of the Spirit, you have discernment. You know, they're not alive. They're not fully alive in God. They're not walking in the joy of the gospel. They may not even let you teach them or tell them anything, but you can pray. That's what Paul did. I pray that you'll be filled up, that you'll be filled from the outside in. Somebody else is doing this. God's got to fill your heart with spiritual insight and understanding that you will never get in the natural. You will never get that. That is not talking about intellectual understanding. It's talking about spiritual understanding that God has to give us eyes for. Ephesians 3:19, he prayed that they would know the love of Christ, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Listen to that, that they would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. That's why I think it's so beautiful if you have a handicapped child. We know handicapped people. We have a little Asia that's here in our church. You know, she can't have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things. But I'm telling you what, that little girl has a love for God. She has a love for Christ. She just may know a fullness that some of us never touch. There's something that passes knowledge. Love. It's a fiery, loving, passionate heart for Jesus, being in love with Christ and having a relationship with him wherein you have had it revealed to your heart that he truly loves you. He has deep affection for you. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So he prays, I want you to have spiritual wisdom and insight so that. Why do we need spiritual insight? Because we can have knowledge without understanding. There is a form of godliness without power. We can know the right things and be demonized. I want you to have spiritual understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It takes revelation from God. It takes the love of God. It takes the wisdom of God hitting your cold, dull heart to bring life and light to your soul. And when that happens, beloved, you want to be with him. You want to obey him. You want to follow Christ. Obedience is not a drudgery. It's not a checklist. It's, I can't do this. I'm a Christian. I can't do that. That doesn't work for anybody. We can't do that. Our flesh is way stronger than we are. The only way that we can defeat sin is to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Let his spirit touch our spirit so that love and joy abounds there and just begins to come out of us. And he changes, as John Piper says, our taste buds. He changes our want to. I love to say, I sin as much as I want to. I love to sin as much as I want to. I just don't want to. Do you? I just don't want to. I sin as much as I want to. I sin more than I want to. God's changed something in me. I want you to have that spiritual insight, wisdom, and knowledge, something to hit your human heart so that you walk differently, so you live differently. I don't want Christians out here trying to rein in the flesh so they don't sin, so they don't present their members as instruments of unrighteousness. That's not how it works. Your flesh, the devil, the world, way stronger. Paul knows that. And so he says, I want to see them really see Jesus. I want to see them fall in love with Christ. And that kind of spiritual wisdom will change their behavior. And I know a lot of you, I know, let's just say all of us, have had real struggle with real sin, and it's been so defeating over and over and over and over again. This prayer right here, oh, that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every respect. Are you kidding me? Pleasing him in every respect. You see, God understands that we're mature. And when he deals with our evil and our hostility and our rebellion, and that doesn't define us anymore, we're just immature and weak. Do you understand how God sees that? He sees that like I see Gavin running. If Carson were running like I saw Gavin running toward me in the hallway on Sunday, I would think something was seriously wrong with Carson and he needed to go to the doctor. But when I see Gavin running like that, I think it's the cutest thing I ever saw. Do you understand? God does truly see immaturity and rebellion very differently. That's why he could say of David, a man after his own heart, who committed adultery and killed a man and lied about it. Do you understand? At the end of David's life, God would say that man fulfilled all the purposes of God in his generation. How could he say that? I want him to say that about me. I'm trying so hard to be good. Quit trying so hard to be good. Fall into the arms of Jesus. Lean into his word. Let him meet you there and give you spiritual wisdom and insight and understanding. So bless your heart. You'll be able to walk worthy of the Lord. That doesn't mean perfectly. It means you'll look like Gavin spiritually. It means you'll just bumble around and God will say, look at her. Just look at her. She is so precious. She is right now pleasing me. Because by faith, she's taking those little baby steps. We need to have our mind renewed in the way we see Christ. We need our mind renewed. We compare ourselves among ourselves and with ourselves. And Paul says in Corinthians, that's not wise. You understand, everybody loses when you do that. You either come out on top and you're proud, or you come out underneath and you're insecure, and it's all pride in God's eyes. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual. Be filled. Don't get it. Be filled with it. Be filled with it. Holy Spirit's job. Just put your heart before the flame of God and say, fill me with spiritual insight and wisdom so I see Christ and can savor Jesus. And he will change your walk. He'll change the way you want to walk. If it weren't possible for you to be fully pleasing to God, it wouldn't be in the Bible. This is Paul praying for a people to be like this. That they would walk in a manner worthy of the name Christian. They would walk in a manner worthy of Christ. Being pleasing to him. Think about that. You and I mean, it makes me love him so much. I have the privilege and the opportunity and even the possibility of bringing God pleasure? What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? What kind of God man is this? This is, I want to come and fill you with the knowledge of myself. And it's going to be so good. And it's going to snucker you under the table so bad. It's going to make you fall in love so fast and so hard that it's going to change everything you ever wanted to do. I'm going to make you want to do what I want you to do. And then I'm going to call it walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That makes me love Christ. That I could please him in every respect. Oh, to walk through my day rather than I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. Shame, 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 condemnation. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Jesus in every aspect of my life. You know where that starts? At a very weak and broken place. Let's just remember, we're his workmanship. We've been saved by grace through faith. Works that he ordained before the foundation of the world. We cannot live this life. It's all by reminder. This is just review. We all know this. We boast in our weaknesses. I'm not a strong Christian woman. I'm a weak, broken, selfish old thing. That's what I am. And he loves me. He's wild and crazy about me. And he wants to fill me with himself so he gets the glory and I get the joy. How does that work? And I get to walk well-pleasing. I just wonder if you've ever, ever in your whole live-long life had that thought. I am well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you don't think like that, that is an affront to the blood of Christ. If you don't think like that. I mean, do we really believe what we're saying? Did the blood of Christ, was that sacrifice really, really, really enough to cover our sin? Did we really take on the righteousness of Christ? Can we really give God pleasure as he sees his life reproduced in us, not because of anything we've done, but because we just let the Holy Spirit have his way, and the Holy Spirit is real. He's real. Takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible. We can't do any of this without faith. Lord, just increase faith tonight. Even as I'm speaking these words, I just know the spirit of conviction and the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of comfort and the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God is just moving. Oh, it's moving in my own heart. It's moving in the room tonight, Father. And so, Lord, we just ask, would you just increase our faith? We know that it's faith. That's the currency here. We have to really not just know these things are true, but believe and bank our life on it. We've got to throw everything else to the wind and say, if this is true, then I'm in. Because without faith, we cannot please you. But with faith, all things are possible. I want to close by having you just look for a minute where he says, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. It just simply means that there's a life of fruitfulness, spiritual fruit that's to come out of our life. Tonight, there's no question. That's why I don't have any problem whatsoever getting up here and saying, my son wrote that poem. Two of my dear friends put music to it and recorded it. You know why I don't have any problem saying that? Because if we're living and not seeing one another according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, we live with an understanding that bearing fruit is what we can expect. And when we see God produce fruit in a life, we can relish in it. We can say, thank God, that is awesome. And if our hearts are right, we don't take that credit to ourselves. We give God the glory, but we sure do enjoy being in the family together, don't we? And celebrating what God is doing. And I'm just telling you, can I just put in a plug on? I just would love to see this. Sorry, I'm going back to my Fully Alive Kids days. When those testimonies are shared, I just think we all ought to clap on Sunday morning. I just think there should just, that's God among us. That's God among us. We're way too, and I used to teach the children this because people would talk about, they'd get saved. These little children would say, and I gave my heart to Jesus this week, and everybody would sit and look at them. And I finally realized, well, they do that because the moms, and we, that is, angels are rejoicing. I mean, there should be something in our heart where we go, God did that in your one and only life. Oh, my goodness, that is awesome. Do you agree with me, or is that just the exhorter? Yeah, I just think we need to loosen that up a little bit. I mean, it's not just the exhorter in me. I just think when somebody stands up this morning and says somebody got saved, I mean, I'm over here going, and that's my problem, you know. I shouldn't do that. I should just go, yes. I just think we ought to do that. I mean, so tonight, it's the truth. Paul said, I don't see anybody according to the flesh. I don't look at people that way. I see God in them. I want to know what God is doing. And boy, when I meet God in another person, fireworks happen and there's joy in the house and love and peace. And so that's what happened tonight. You understand? The world would showcase a song. We're celebrating God. We are saying, God says, Paul prayed, I want to see you guys bear fruit in every good work. So when I see Josiah obey Jessica, that's good fruit, Jess. That's good fruit. And if I say, way to go, hon, that was great. You said, no, don't do that. And he said, okay, mommy, that's awesome. We celebrate that. We know she's been working on her knees, teaching the word of God. There's fruit in the house. So we're supposed to be doing that. And as Christians, we're supposed to see that. That's good fruit in your life so that we don't run around thinking that only the people on the stage are the ones bearing good fruit. I need to stick with my manuscript. Okay. And then it gets right back to, love this, increasing. Oh. Increasing. He comes back to, oh, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He just can't get enough of that. Bearing fruit, walking worthy, pleasing in every respect. But back to that spiritual understanding, knowledge of the will of God. Let's go back to that. Just to keep on increasing in that. I just love that. This is the same man that said, oh, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, that I may know him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might for endurance. You know what? Paul doesn't expect, I don't expect, if you have any discernment spiritually at all, you don't expect times are going to get easier. They're not. They're not. And I'm an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm excited to be alive. I love being alive at this moment in human history, but it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And so Paul understands that too. And he says, I want you strengthened. I'm praying for you because you're going to face real trouble in your life, real hardship. It's going to get tough. He doesn't pray it won't be tough. He doesn't pray that for them. He says, I want to see you be the kind of people that endure suffering. I want to see you come to real hard places and be patient. And I want you to know, I am probably the most impatient person on the planet. You, Chandler, don't have to say anything. No amen corners. I'm really impatient. I've got lots of passion. How many of you know when you've got lots of energy, that usually has a flip side? It's really impatient. Just want to lay on the horn. When I get in this long line of traffic, I wonder what is wrong with the lady at Subway that she just cannot make that sandwich faster. I mean, you just cannot do things. Just patient. That's not okay. It's not okay. Paul says, I want you to be strengthened with power. You need resurrection power in your life. And I'm praying for you. And I'm expecting that God's going to answer my prayer because he's the God who hears prayer. And I'm expecting that you're going to take up this prayer on your lips and pray it for yourself and pray it for people. You need to be strengthened with all power. Power of the resurrection. Mighty power. Glorious power. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to be strengthened with that to endure. To endure. We get our feelings hurt too easily. We cave in when things go hard. We have a bad day. We want to grumble and complain rather than rejoice and have joy in the Lord. This is the gospel. Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you. I'm glad you have faith, hope, and love. But now let's work that down to the nitty gritty. Do you endure when trials come? Do you stand steadfast? Are you praising God and saying he's beautiful when the job was lost, when you didn't get the job, when the child is in the hospital and the diagnosis looks really bad? Patience. And if we lack patience, our heart's not established. It's not stable. It's not steady. It's what it says about me when I'm not patient. Love is patient. See, if I'm loving Jesus more than I'm loving myself in the moment, I'm just glad I have another few minutes with God. If I'm focused, if I'm setting my mind on things above, like he's going to tell us, this is how you do some of these things. This is what I'm praying for you to endure and have patience. If you'd set your mind on things above instead of things below, you wouldn't act like this. So part of it is what you've got to do with your mind. And then he says where we're going to get next week. And I want you to do all this with joy. If this seems like a heavy message tonight, it isn't. Paul says, I want you to do all this with joy. With joy. If you're in his presence and God's doing things in your life, in his presence, there's fullness of joy at his right hand. Pleasures. Forever. Now and forever, pleasure, the pleasure of God. I want you to do all this with joy. What a prayer. What a prayer. And this is just the kickoff. This is where we're going to go this semester as we dig into this book and say, Paul, I want to understand these truths, because I want to know your Christ, the Christ that he would say, may he in all things have what? Preeminence. In all things, every single thing that touches my life, may Jesus have preeminence. Praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as we get ready to let me just ask you some questions. Just want every eye closed for just a minute. I want to ask about three needs tonight. Three points of application, just three. But if God is wanting tonight to make you stable and steadfast in your faith and see to it that you're one who continues in the faith, do you have a need tonight to be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God? God, prick your heart tonight with the need for revelation, to really see Christ, to fall in love. Maybe there's some area where you know you're not walking worthy. You're not. You're not pleasing him. You know you're not. God's come tonight. He's pricked your heart. He's wooed you to come back to him. He's come gently. He's come loving you. He's come imploring you. Would you let me help you with that area of your life? I'm going to ask you tonight to do business with God in this next few minutes. Rachel, if you could just maybe play for a second. Some of you may be facing some kind of trial or a challenge of some kind, a hardship, a pain. And you need strength to endure, strength from God. You don't need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You just need the Lord to come with a transfer of his mighty strength, a transfusion, and fill you. Maybe it's with the joy of the Lord, because that's non-optional, you know. Joy is not an option. It's our strength in battle. It's our strength on the battlefield. If we're going to make it in this war with the world, the flesh, and the devil, we've got to know the joy of the Lord. And the way to have joy is to get in his presence. If you want joy, you don't have to whip it up. You don't have to numb out on drugs or alcohol or go shop. You don't need a new dress. You don't need to watch a movie, feel better. You need to get in the presence of God. You need to really latch hold of Jesus. Because if you do that, I guarantee you, in his presence, you will find joy. So tonight, Father, I pray. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray where there's a real need tonight to be filled with spiritual wisdom and the knowledge of God. They need the knowledge of God. They need to see you, Jesus. They need to experience you. They need to know you by experience. Reveal yourself to them, oh God, tonight in a fresh new way. Start them on a journey of relationship with you that truly is sweet and precious like never before. Lord, if there's just sin where someone knows I'm not walking in a manner consistent with my Christianity, this is not pleasing, this area is not pleasing to God, would you come with your Holy Spirit? Would you lean in close? Would you work real repentance? Would you allow hearts that have been numbed out by sin and deceit, the deceitfulness of sin, to just crack under the power of the Holy Spirit? Just ask for that. Pray your strength in Jesus' name. Father, now come and be with us as we engage in worship together of the living Lamb of God who came and died that we might live, came and brought us newness of life. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love what you've done for us. We'll never be the same. We'll never know the payment for our own sin. We'll never know the wrath of God. We'll never know the judge to say guilty, condemned. We'll never know that moment. We'll know joy forevermore in your presence. We rejoice in you and we thank you and praise you, O God, in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to stand and let's join together as Rachel, would you lead us again in that song? And as we listen to the first couple of verses, let me just kind of share with you the movements again. The first verse and even the tempo is declaring who we once were. And if you don't know Christ, it's who you are. And I would invite you to run to him tonight. But there's a promise even in that first verse at the very end that Jesus is going to win. He's going to win the war for your soul. And in the second stanza, the captain of our salvation begins to arise. And we begin to praise him. And by the time that stanza is done, the war's been won. And there's a hallelujah. It's been won. And then we have the third stanza where the truth is declared about us now. We have inherited Christ. And so I want to ask you to stand. The dancers are going to be dancing this for us, interpreting the song. But when we come to that last verse that I think many of you were already singing and you already know, I'm going to invite you to just do the motions with them, the very simple, when they get to the end, the motions that you'll know when they're there. Just join them, okay? And let's praise the Lord for what he's done.